السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشهد ان محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. حضرت مسیح موعود علیہ السلام نے جب مسیح موعود اور مہدی موعود ہونے کا دعویٰ کیا,
from the moment the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made the claim to being the promised Messiah and the Mahdi until today, opponents of Ahmadiyyat and so-called scholars have continuously and relentlessly hurled countless allegations against him. Nonetheless, this has always been their way and they will continue acting in this manner. They attempt to constantly mislead and misguide the general populace of the Muslims, and they succeed in doing so. And the most serious charge they level to inflame and incite the sentiments of Muslims is that, God forbid, they, that is Ahmadis, consider the status of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to be greater than that of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The lies and the injustice of these scholars have reached such extremes that to further their personal gains, they have alleged that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, God forbid, has referred to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam using certain words which are insulting. Today, they raise the exact same allegation against members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community whenever they have the opportunity and the ability to do so, claiming that Ahmadis, God forbid, believe the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to be greater than the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. When righteous and sincere people amongst the non-Ahmadi Muslims read the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and the literature of the Ahmadiyya community, or they listen to his words and their statements, they immediately understand that these allegations are raised by so-called and corrupt scholars purely with the aim of creating disorder. At this time, I will present certain extracts of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that can be found in his various books. In this time, neither can all references be presented of the view of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, on the status of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nor can extracts from every one of his books be cited in this regard. However, I will present extracts from the time the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote Barahini Ahmadiyyat until the last book which he wrote before he passed away. In these extracts, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, expounds on the rank and the status of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The four parts of Barahini Ahmadiyyat were written from 1880 till 1884, and they are compiled in Ruhani Khazain, the collation of all the books of the promised Messiah, volume 1. At one place in it, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "Now under heaven there is only one prophet and only one book. That prophet is Muhammad, the chosen one, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is higher and more exalted than all prophets, and is the most perfect of messengers, and is the Khatamul Anbiya, the seal of all the prophets, and the best of men, by following whom we find God the Almighty. All the veils of darkness are lifted, and the signs of true salvation are witnessed in this very life. That book is the Holy Quran, which comprises true and perfect guidance and effectiveness, through which knowledge and understanding of the divine are obtained, and the heart is purified of human weaknesses. And being delivered from ignorance, heedlessness, and doubts, a person arrives at the stage of complete certainty." A person attains complete certainty and conviction of the status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the might, power and oneness of Allah the Almighty, and the greatness of the Holy Quran, which is the word of God revealed to the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Again, in the book Barahini Ahmadiyyat, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "This humble one is also amongst the humblest of servants of this glorious prophet, who is the chief of all the prophets." In his book published in 1886, Surma Chashmi Arya, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, writes about the status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, "In short, divine revelation is a mirror in which the perfect attributes of God the Almighty are seen, according to the inner cleanliness of the Prophet who is the recipient of the revelation." Hazur says that, in other words, according to the rank of the Prophet and his inner state, God's attributes are correspondingly reflected in that Prophet. The promised Messiah continues, "As the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was higher than all the other prophets in the purity of his soul, the expansion of his mind, his chastity, modesty, sincerity, trust, fidelity, and love of the divine, God the Glorious anointed him with the perfume of special excellence in excess of any other prophet, which were broader and holier and more innocent and brighter and more loving than the heart of any of whom had passed before him, and who were to come after him, were considered worthy that such divine revelation should descend upon him, as should be stronger and more perfect, higher and more complete than the revelation vouchsafed to all those who were before him and all those who were to come after him, and which should serve as a clear, wide and large mirror for reflecting divine attributes." Then, in his book published in 1891, Tawzi-e Maram, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, explains the manifestation of the highest and most exalted rank of revelation. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "This highest condition was vouchsafed to one person alone in the entire world, that is, of the highest form and rank of divine revelation, namely, the perfect man. He alone is the culmination and apex of human excellence. It is in his person that the evolutionary cycle of human potentiality reached absolute perfection. He had the highest standard of all human qualities and faculties. Indeed, he is the last point on the human scale of the extended line of God's creation. That is, if a line were to be drawn of all humans, he would be at its apex. So the promised Messiah continues, and this constitutes the absolute pinnacle of all spiritual heights. Divine wisdom initiated the evolutionary process at the lowest level of creation with the meanest creatures and caused it to attain the highest point, the other name of which is Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The name Muhammad signifies the most praised one, or the one who is the supreme embodiment of all perfection and excellence. Just as the Holy Prophet ﷺ's innate spiritual station was extremely exalted and so high and lofty, the quality of revelation vouchsafed to him was also very high. This station cannot be attained by me, that is the promised Messiah, or the Messiah, that is the first Messiah, Jesus, peace be upon him. Then, writing about the rank of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his publication from 1892-1893, Aina Kamalat Islam, which is found in Rohani Khazain, Volume 5, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says in this extract, which is in Urdu and Arabic, that light of high degree that was bestowed on perfect man was not in the angels, was not in the stars, was not in the moon, was not in the sun, was not in the oceans and the rivers, was not found in rubies, in emeralds, sapphires or pearls. In short, it was not in any earthly or heavenly object. It was only in perfect man, whose highest and loftiest and most perfect example was our Lord and Master, the Chief of the Prophets, the Chief of all living ones, Muhammad, the Chosen One, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That nur, that light was bestowed on this man, and according to their ranks, upon all those who bore the same color to some degree. And by amanat, trust, I meant all those powers and abilities bestowed upon the perfect man, wisdom, knowledge, his heart, life, faculties, fear, love, honor, and awe, and the sum total of the spiritual and physical blessings given to him, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by God the Almighty. And then the perfect man, in accord with the verse, verily, Allah commands you to make over the trust to those entitled to them, returns this entire trust back to God the Almighty. In other words, the biggest trust is that given by Allah the Almighty, which we must fulfill to Him, the rights due to Allah the Almighty. And the one who returned to the greatest degree the rights due to Allah the Almighty was none other than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So the promised Messiah continues, that is to say, becoming totally lost in him devotes it all in his way, in his cause. So what does returning trust to Allah the Almighty mean? It is to give oneself up completely to him, to sacrifice one's entire life for his cause, to spread his religion, to worship him, and to fulfill the dues of Hakukullah, the rights due to Allah the Almighty. So as the promised Messiah continues, as we have made clear all of this while discussing the reality and meaning of Islam, and this status was bestowed in a perfect and complete manner upon our Lord and Master and Guide, the Immaculate Prophet, the True, and the One whose truth is attested to, Muhammad, the Chosen One, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. As Allah the Almighty says himself in the Holy Quran, say, my prayer and my sacrifice and my life and my death are all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. He has no partner, and so am I commanded, and I am the first of those who submit. And say, this is my path leading straight, so follow it, and follow not other ways, lest they lead you away from His way. That is what He enjoins upon you, that you may become able to guard against evils. Say, if you love Allah, follow me, then will Allah love you and forgive you your faults. And Allah is most forgiving, merciful. Say, I have submitted myself to Allah, and I have been commanded to submit myself to the Lord of the worlds. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, explaining these various verses that were recited from different chapters, the Promised Messiah did not give the full translation but gave some of the explanation, and he says, one should say that everything, my prayer, my worship, my efforts and struggles, my sacrifices and my life and death, are purely for Allah the Almighty and are devoted in His way. To that Lord who is the Lord of all the worlds and has no partner. And from the beginning of mankind until its end, no one else compares to the perfect man who was the greatest devotee to God the Almighty and the first or the best of those who submit. In other words, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his publication Nurul Haq, published in 1894 and found in Ruhani Khazain Volume 8, the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, says in this Arabic extract, طُوبَ لِلَّذِي قَامَ لِإِلَىٰ قَلَمَةِ الدِّينِ وَنَحَذَ يَسْتَكْرِي تُرَكُنْ مِرِزَاتِ اللَّهِ نَسِيرِ الْمُؤِينِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد رسله Blessed is he who stood up for the service of the faith and the religion. He arose looking for the ways of winning the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful, all praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, and we invoke blessings and peace upon the chief of the prophets. Then, in his publication of 1894, Itmam al-Hujjah, also found in Ruhani Khazain Volume 8, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, the man who was most perfect as man and as a prophet, and came with full blessings, and through who a spiritual revival and resurrection manifested the first judgment in the world and revived the dead world, that blessed prophet, the seal of the prophets, the leader of the righteous ones, the pride of the prophets, was Muhammad Mustafa, the chosen one, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Our Lord, send down on that beloved prophet that mercy and blessing that thou hast not sent down on anyone since the beginning of the world. Had that grand prophet not appeared in the world, then we would have no proof of the truth of the lesser prophets like Jonah, Job, Jesus son of Mary, Malachi, John, Zechariah. Though they were favorites and honored and were beloved ones of Allah the Almighty, they are under obligation to this prophet that they were accepted in this world as true prophets. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barik alayhi wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'ina wa akhira dawana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then says in his publication of 1895, Arya Dharam, our religious opponents, the opponents of Islam, rely on mere tales and false narrations which are not substantiated in any way by a revered book, the Holy Quran, and they defame the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our hearts are shattered when they make false allegations against our master and leader, the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and go as far as to hurl abuse at him based on pure fabrications. They try to accuse the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of, God forbid, adultery and immorality, about whom our definitive research shows to be the most pure of all, the chief of the pious, who was born from a woman's womb, and whom we consider to be the seal of the prophets, and the perfect, and the seal of the prophets, of piety, and of excellences. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then writes in his publication of 1897, Sirajul Munir, "When we estimate justly, then out of the whole series of prophets, we find one of high courage, and alive, and greatly dear to God. In other words, the chief of the prophets, the pride and the crown of the messengers, whose name is Muhammad Mustafa and Ahmad Mujtaba, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. By walking under his shadow for 10 days, one obtains that light which before him could not be obtained in 1,000 years. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then writes in Kitabul Bariya, published in 1898, "The signs and miracles of our holy prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are of two types. The first are those that were shown at his hand, or manifested through his spoken word, or action, or prayer. Such signs and miracles number 3,000. And then there are those miracles that are continuously being manifested through his ummah, through his followers, and such signs go in to their hundreds of thousands. And no century has gone by in which such signs were not manifested. And in this era, through this humble one, God the Almighty is displaying those signs once again. Signs that have never ceased to manifest in any era. Through these signs, we realize that the greatest and most beloved of the prophets is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chosen one. Because the followers of the other prophets are now lost in darkness and have with them nothing other than mere stories and tales. But the followers of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continuously receive God Almighty's fresh signs. This is why amongst this ummah, the Muslims at large, many such saintly people are found, who have such certainty and conviction in God, as if they see him. And other peoples and nations do not have such a degree of certainty about God the Almighty. Thus our soul bears testimony to the fact that the true and correct religion is Islam alone. We have seen nothing of Hazrat Jesus, peace be upon him. If the Holy Quran had not borne testimony to his truth, it would not have been possible for us to have accepted him as a true prophet of God. Because when a religion remains left with nothing more than tales and stories, the truth of the founder of that religion cannot be established based on such fables and legends. The reason is that stories that are hundreds of years old often contain falsehood within them. Indeed, this is what is more than likely, since there is an abundance of falsehood in the world. So how can such tales be accepted as being true from one's heart? The miracles of our noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are not mere stories. In fact, by obeying the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we experience those signs ourselves, and through the blessings of observation and experience, we arrive at the stage of haqqul yaqeen, complete certainty. How high is the status of that perfect and Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose prophethood always furnishes fresh proof to the seekers. And by the blessings of witnessing continuous signs, we arrive at the stage where, as if we see God the Almighty with our very own eyes. Thus, true religion is that, and the true prophet is he, the fresh spring of whose truth should always be witnessed. To rely upon mere stories, which are subject to all kinds of exceptions, is not a wise person's approach. Hundreds of people have been deified in the world, and they are believed in on the basis of hundreds of old tales. But the truth is that the true performer of miracles is he, the river of whose miracles never dries up. That person is our leader and master, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In every age, God the Almighty has raised someone to display the signs of that perfect and holy one. In this age, he has sent me with the title of Masih Ma'ud, the promised Messiah. Look how signs are being shown from heaven, and all sorts of extraordinary events are coming to pass. Every seeker after truth can come and stay with me and witness these signs, whether he is a Christian, a Jew, or an Arya. All these are the blessings of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then, in his publication of 1900, Arba'een, first edition from Ruhani Khazain, volume 17, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, I say truly that there has only been one perfect man on earth whose prophecies, acceptance of prayers, and the manifestation of other miracles is such a phenomenon that even till this day is surging like a river through the devout followers of the Ummah. Apart from Islam, what other faith contains such quality and strength? And where are those people, and which country do they live in, who can challenge the blessings and signs of Islam? Then, in 1902, in his book Kishti-e-Nu, Noah's Ark, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, writes, There is no book on the face of the earth for mankind except for the Qur'an. All of mankind has no messenger and intercessor but Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chosen one. Thus endeavor to cultivate true love for this Prophet of dignity and majesty, and do not give any sort of preference to anyone else over him, so that in heaven you may be counted as those who have attained salvation. Remember, salvation is not something that will be manifested after death. On the contrary, true salvation exhibits its light in this very world. Who is the one who attains salvation? It is such a person who believes that God is true and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the intercessor between God and all his creatures, and that there is no messenger equal to him in rank under heaven, nor is there any book equal in status to the Holy Quran. God did not desire that anyone should remain alive eternally, but this chosen prophet lives forever. Then, in 1902, in another publication of his, Naseem-e-Dawat, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, writes, Our soul and every particle of our being are prostrate before the mighty, true, and perfect God, from whose hand every soul and every particle of creation, together with all its faculties, came into being, and through whose support every being is sustained. Nothing is outside his knowledge, outside his control, or outside his creation. We call thousands of blessings and peace and mercy on the Holy Prophet Muhammad, the Chosen One, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through whom we have found the living God, who gives us proof of his existence through his word. He demonstrates to us through extraordinary signs his shining countenance, which possess eternal and perfect power. So we found the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who manifested God to us, and we found the God who created everything through his perfect power. How majestic is his power that nothing came into being without it, and nothing can continue to exist without its support. That true God of ours possesses numberless blessings, numberless powers, numberless beauties and beneficences. There is no other God besides him, and this God we found through the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then in 1903, in his book Lecture Sialkot, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, writes, Thus these religions came to suffer from such ills, some of which are unspeakable and even repugnant to the purity of the human self. All these symptoms were conditions that existed before Islam. Islam was needed because of the ills that the previous religions came to suffer. A reasonable person would admit that sometime before the advent of Islam, all faiths had become corrupted and had lost spirituality. Thus, our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the greatest reformer who brought the lost truth back into the world. No prophet shares with our holy prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the distinction that he found the entire world steeped in darkness, and he turned its darkness into light. Nor did he die until the entire people among whom he appeared had shed the garb of shirk, associating partners with God, and put on the gown of Tawheed, the unity of Allah. Not only that, but they attained the highest levels of faith. They displayed such unprecedented sincerity, faithfulness and certainty as was not to be found anywhere in the world. No prophet of God ever achieved such a kind and degree of success, except the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The prime argument in favor of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophethood is that he graced the world with his presence at a time when it was steeped in darkness and was in dire need of a great reformer. And he did not die before hundreds of thousands of people had abandoned shirk and idol worship. Rather, before his death they had adopted tawheed and the right path. None but the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have brought about this great reformation. He taught human values to a people who were savages and brutes. The people had become like animals. He transformed brutes into men, men into civilized men, and civilized men into godly men. He infused spiritual qualities into them and established their communion with the true God. In his path they were slaughtered like goats and trampled underfoot like ants. But they held fast to their faith and kept marching forward in the face of every hardship. Our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was therefore undoubtedly the second Adam by virtue of establishing spirituality in the world. Rather, he was the true Adam, as it was through him that all human virtues reached their perfection. All the forces for good became active in their respective spheres, and no branch of human nature was left fruitless. The finality of prophethood in his person consists not only in his being last, but also in the fact that all the perfections of prophethood culminated in him. Since he was the perfect manifestation of divine attributes, the law he brought contained the qualities of glory as well as of beauty. His twin names, Muhammad and Ahmad, symbolized the same reality, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His universal prophethood does not partake of any parsimony, but was from the very beginning meant for the entire world. Then in 1905, in his book Barahini Ahmadiyyat, Part 5, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, writes, "God be thanked 1,000 times, who has bestowed upon us a religion, which is such a means of attaining to the knowledge of God, and to the fear of God, as had had no equal in any age. Thousands of blessings be upon the Immaculate Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through whom we have entered this faith, and thousands of divine mercies be bestowed upon his companions, who irrigated this garden with their blood." Then again in Barahini Ahmadiyyat Part 5, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "The same beauty was in Noah, out of regard for which the Lord of Honor, the Glory, destroyed all his enemies by torment of water. Hadrat Noah's people were destroyed by God Almighty because he was a prophet. Then Moses appeared with the same spiritual beauty, and he, after suffering for a few days, became the occasion for the ruin of Pharaoh. Then last of all, the chief of the prophets, and the best of mankind, our Lord and Master Muhammad the Mustafa, the Chosen One, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, appeared with a grand spiritual beauty, in praise of which it is enough to cite the verse of the Holy Quran. That prophet drew closer to God, and then leaned towards mankind, and then discharged fully that which was due to God, and that which was due to man, and demonstrated both kinds of spiritual beauty. And he became like a common cord between two bows. In other words, he became like the cord in the middle of two bows. However, the ill-natured and those who are blind did not see this beauty. Regarding the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he states that the ill-natured and the blind did not see him. As God the Almighty states, "And thou seest them looking towards thee, but they see not. Ultimately, all those who are blind will be punished." Then in 1907, in his book Haqiqatul Wahi, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, writes, "I always wonder how high was the status of this Arabian prophet, whose name was Muhammad, thousands of blessings and peace be upon him. One cannot reach the limit of his high status, and it is not given to man to estimate correctly his spiritual effectiveness. It is a pity that his rank has not been recognized as it should have been. He was the champion who restored to the world the unity of God, which had disappeared from the world. He loved God in the extreme, and his soul melted out of sympathy for mankind. Therefore, God, who knew the secret of his heart, exalted him above all the prophets, and all the first ones, and the last ones, and bestowed upon him in his lifetime all that he desired. He is the fountainhead of every grace, and a person who claims any superiority without acknowledging his grace is not man, but is a spawn of Satan." Azur says, they level the allegation against him that God forbid the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, considered himself superior in rank to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or that he came at the end and therefore he is the prophet. The promised Messiah has said that one who claims any superiority without acknowledging his grace is not a man, but is a spawn of Satan. So the promised Messiah continues, because the Holy Prophet has been bestowed the key to every exaltation, and he has been given the treasure of every understanding. He who does not receive through him is deprived forever. I am nothing and possess nothing. I would be most ungrateful if I were not to confess that I have learnt of the true unity of God through this prophet. The recognition of the living God we have achieved through this perfect prophet and through his light. The honor of converse with God through which we behold his countenance has been bestowed upon me through this great prophet. The ray of this sun of guidance falls like sunshine upon me, and I continue illumined only so long as I am adjusted towards it. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then says again in Haqiqatul Wahi, "The purpose of having said all this is that in order to show his love to anyone, God Almighty has laid down the condition that such a person must follow the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, it is my personal experience that to obey the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, with a sincere heart, and to love him, ultimately makes a person beloved of God. God creates in his heart a burning for his own love, and such a one, withdrawing his heart from everything else, leans towards God, and his affection and desire remain only for God the Almighty. Thereupon, a special manifestation of divine love falls upon him, and bestowing upon him the full color of love and devotion, pulls him towards itself with great force. He then overcomes his passion, and from every direction extraordinary works of God the Almighty appear as signs in his support and to help him. However, this is only granted to those who love the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, further states in Haqiqatul Wahi, "I have taken a perfect share from this blessing purely due to God's grace, and not because of any of my own talent, which was given to the earlier prophets, messengers, and the chosen ones of God. However, it would have been impossible for me to acquire this blessing without following the examples of my Lord and Master, the pride of all the prophets, the best of mankind, Hazrat Muhammad, the chosen one, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Thus, whatever I have acquired is due to following him, and I am aware, owing to my true and perfect knowledge, that one cannot reach God the Almighty without following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and neither can one acquire any share of the perfect wisdom. At this point, I will also tell you that after showing true and complete devotion to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the first thing that develops within one's heart before the development of anything else? Let it be remembered that it is a pure heart. The love of the world leaves the heart, and the heart becomes in need of an internal and everlasting pleasure. Thereafter, on account of this pure heart, one is able to attain the pure and perfect love of God, as God the Almighty states. That say, if you love Allah, follow me, then will Allah love you and forgive you your sins. Then in 1908, in his book Jashmai Marifat, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, there have been millions of pure-natured people in the world, and there will be more in the future, but we have found the best of all of them, and the highest man of God, whose name is Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Allah and his angels send blessings on the Prophet. O ye who believe, you also should invoke blessings on him and salute him with the salutations of peace. We shall leave aside any mention of the Holy Ones from among those people whose circumstances have not been described in detail in the Holy Quran. We shall express our view only with regard to the prophets mentioned in the Quran, like Moses, David, Jesus, and other prophets, peace be upon them. We affirm it on oath, calling God to witness that if the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had not come into the world, and the Holy Quran had not been revealed, and we had not seen with our own eyes the blessings that we have witnessed, the truth of all the past prophets would have remained doubtful in our eyes. For no reality can be gathered from mere stories. It is quite possible that they may not be true, and it is also possible that the miracles that are attributed to these prophets might be exaggerations, for no sign of them is visible today. We cannot even ascertain for certain from the books revealed in the past that God truly exists, or that he speaks to man. But through the advent of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all these stories became real. We now realize, not merely as a statement, but as a matter of experience, what converse with the divine means, and how God's signs are manifested, and how prayers are answered. All this we have discovered by following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what other people relate as stories, we have witnessed it all. We have attached ourselves to a prophet who manifests God to us. A poet has put it beautifully, Muhammad of Arabia, king of both the worlds, whose threshold is safeguarded by the Holy Spirit. I cannot call him God, but I do say, to recognize him is to recognize God. How shall we express our gratitude to God, who bestowed upon us the good fortune to follow the prophet who is a sun for the souls of the righteous, as there is a sun for the bodies? He appeared in a time of darkness and illumined the world with his light. He was neither tired nor fatigued till he purified all parts of Arabia from associating partners with God. He is the proof of his own truth, for his light is present in every age, and true obedience to him purifies a person as the clear and transparent water of a river cleanses dirty linen. Who has come to us with a sincere heart and has not witnessed that light? And who has knocked honestly on that door for whom it has not been opened? But the pity is that most people prefer the lower life and do not desire that higher light should enter them. Then again in Jashmai Marifat, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, It is worthy of consideration whether this glory, this splendor, these thousands of heavenly signs and divine blessings can be bestowed upon a false one. We take great pride in the fact that the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to whom we have attached ourselves, has been bestowed with great grace by God. He is not God, but through him we have seen God. His religion, which has come to us, is a mirror of divine powers. Had it not been for Islam, it would have been difficult in this age to appreciate what prophethood is, and whether miracles are possible, and whether they are part of the law of nature. This puzzle was resolved by the eternal grace of that prophet, and it is due to him that we are not mere storytellers like other people, but enjoy the support of God's light and his heavenly help. We are unable to express adequately our gratitude that God, who is hidden from others, and the inner power which is beyond the concept of others, and the Lord of glory, have been disclosed to us by the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Hazrat says, thus the so-called ulama posed the allegation that why did God the Almighty speak to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, who showed true obedience to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why did God the Almighty speak to the promised Messiah and grant him his nearness through his hidden and concealed strengths? However, it is not the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, or the members of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat that come or fall under this allegation. Rather, it is the so-called ulama, the Muslim scholars, that the grace of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam no longer continues on, God forbid, and that God the Almighty's strengths and attributes have been limited. Therefore, if there is anyone who should be subjected to this allegation, it is them. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then speaks about the status and rank of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jashma-i Ma'rifat, and also of his continuing grace. And he says, then when our noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appeared in this world, a great revolution took place, and in a short period of time, the Arabian Peninsula, which knew of nothing other than idol worship, was submerged with the oneness of God, like the ocean. Aside from this, a strange matter indeed, that the signs and miracles given to our Lord and Master, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were not limited to that time alone, but in fact they will continue to manifest themselves until the Day of Judgment. Furthermore, a prophet who appeared in the earlier days was not considered an ummati of the earlier prophet. Even though he propagated the faith of his predecessor, he was not considered a follower, and deemed him to be truthful. However, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been granted this special distinction, which makes him the Khatmul Anbiya, the seal of the prophets, for two reasons. Firstly, all the excellences of prophethood have ended with him, and secondly, after his demise, there will be no messenger with a new law, nor will there appear a prophet outside his following. As a matter of fact, anyone who is a recipient of divine discourse, it will be through the Holy Prophet's grace and association, and that individual is called an ummati, a subordinate prophet, and not an independent prophet. Thus, it was in this context that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, after being informed by God the Almighty, declared himself to be an ummati nabi, a subordinate prophet. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then says, the state of the world's acceptance and return is such that from among every segment of the Muslims, at least 20 million stand ever ready in his servitude. From the time God Almighty created the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, great and magnificent kings, the promised Messiah is mentioning the population in his time, great and magnificent kings who would conquer the world are falling at your feet like inferior servants, the Holy Prophet's feet. And even the Muslim kings of that time consider themselves in the servitude of the Holy Prophet like humble servants, descending from the throne upon mentioning his name. This is the status being mentioned by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. As for the allegation that, heaven forbid, the promised Messiah does not consider non-Ahmadi Muslims to be Muslims, The promised Messiah is mentioning here that all the Muslims in the world feel proud to be in the servitude of the Holy Prophet and not just Ahmadis. So this is the rank and the status of the Holy Prophet as understood by the promised Messiah, who explained to the world and gave his followers this insight. Had we not been followers of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, we would never have known the depth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beauty, eminence and grand status. The opponents argue that in the beginning the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would state one thing and by changing his opinion, heaven forbid, gained personal gain and benefit. All these writings which I have presented are from the year 1880 to 1908, which was the year of his demise. In not a single place will you find any incongruity that is not verified by another writing. At every stage, the status and rank of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been expressed greater than the former. If the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has declared himself at any place to be a prophet, then it is only in subordination to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May God the Almighty protect the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim community at large, from the clutches of those who seek personal gain. And may they become followers of the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the only method and the only way the honor of the Muslim Ummah can be reinstated once again. May God the Almighty enable us to read and understand the books and directives of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And may God enable us to truly reach him and give us the opportunity to recognize him through the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ